know you want me to. You might as well let the man take your hand, yeah, and do as I please. How many licks does it take to get to you, girl? Well, let's just see. Oh, I got that sweet tooth, oh, for you, baby.
S. Tucker, from the Southern Soul playlist. And now, we're back. Monday Night Madness. WB and the Professor. Hey, Professor.
Hey, good evening. Good evening, world.
Hey, we're in for a night. I mean, a tasty treat.
Yes.
I love that Philly sound.
Okay.
And like Professor had mentioned before, we're featuring none other than Tom Bell.
Yeah.
The music by Tom Bell, rather, or produced by Professor Delphonics, Stylistics, Prince, Mark Dorsey, David Sanborn, the Stylistics, the Spinners. Oh, let's start right there.
Okay. Let's do it.
Yeah, I'll be around. Ghetto Child, Rubber Band Man.
Yeah, man.
Hey, let's do this.
What So much rhythm, grace, and heaven there for one man. Oh. And then he had the nerve to twinkle his left toe, but through his knee, got the feeling in his head, y'all.
Yes. Studio W the Buzz. Absolutely. The Spinners, Rubber Band Man.
That's it.
I'll Be Around.
Yeah.
Ghetto Child. Oh, that's coming up later. But anyway, Professor, tonight, boy, you know, folks, if you listen to us, and our avid listeners know, we'll pick genres from different parts of the country, you know? And sometimes we'll have artists that have come migrated into the United States.
Yes.
Okay, and we'll play that too. So, Monday Night Madness is musicology at its finest. And we say musicology with a heavy dose of serotonin.
Serotonin.
That's it. You're looking and listening to two sonic archaeologists. That's right. We dig up the gems and we deliver them to you on what, Professor?
A silver platter.
A silver platter. So tonight is fun. It's that Philly sound. I love that. And let's see. We have some Prince in here too. Okay.
That's right. That's right.
Phonics.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. And we talk about the stylistics, but we're going to start at the, let's see. Hold it. Okay.
Yes. We started with the, Spinners. And, if I can, give a little bit of insight to Tom Bell. And if there's any record aficionados out there, you may remember when you got that very special 12-inch vinyl record and those liner notes that were inside, and you probably saw the name pop up just a bit, especially if you are a Philly soul fan. Tom Bell was an arranger, composer, and producer for so many of Philly soul hits, not only from Philadelphia International, but also from Cameo Parkway, that label from way back in the day. And he was really the leading figure in the late 60s, early 70s period that I like to call falsetto sway, in which you had all of, it was a time of, you know, a rise in black consciousness, and then we also had a wave of boy groups at that time. And a lot of them that's, featured, you know, the falsetto sound, like, Russell Tompkins with the Stylistics, the Delphonics, and many, many others. And Tom Bell, he was really the impetus, behind that sound. And we're going to talk about how he got that sound out of those artists this evening, what he believed about in the studio as far as making records, and just a bevy of information. For instance, you know, and we'll talk about it when we get there, but you are everything came out of while he and Kenny Gamble were walking down the street in Philadelphia, and a guy across the street on a corner stared at them.
Whoa.
Yeah, there's more to that, but just kept staring at them.
Right. I see a brand new name on this list right here at the very top.
Yes.
Number one, you put up here.
Yes, from 1965, Hattie Winston.
Okay. I left behind my desk. Professor, he added some songs here. I said, wait a minute, hold it. I don't remember this one being number one, but guess what? You put it there for a reason.
That's right. It was his first, it was the first hit that he actually, produced and manned, in the booth, in the recording booth. And it was, you know, and it was by the great soul singer, you know, Hattie Winston. And that was 1965. And also this was the time too that, Tom Bell was working with, Chubby Checker. Did you know that he conducted the orchestras for Chubby Checker?
I had no idea.
And he arranged music for Chubby Checker, and it was for his company. And this was after, the hits for The Twist and Let's Twist Again. Mm-hmm. But, he did some, elaborate work, and he was always moving up the ladder. Somebody would hear what he was doing at this company, then they brought him over to their company.
Of course.
And then it just kept growing and growing. And we'll talk about how his budget grew through the years and what he could have done, not could have, what he did do with a big budget that ultimately changed pop music history.
Absolutely. And that goes to show you that even in the music industry, everybody can't do everything.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You have to have that engineer, that producer,
mm-hmm.
that director.
I was your only
yeah.
girl.
Yeah.
Hattie Winston.
Your only
pass by me.
Pass me by.
Pass me by.
Me,
okay.
All right. Hey, Jazz.
I stand corrected. Hattie Winston, yes, right. Oh, that Philly sound. We got some Dale Fonis coming up later, but anyway, Professor, any more commentary?
That was off of Cameo Parkway Records, and Cameo Parkway in the late 50s and throughout the 60s, that was the Philly label before we had Philadelphia International. And look who came out of Cameo Parkway again. Not only Hattie Winston, Chubby Checker once again, and Dee Dee Sharp also came out of Cameo Parkway.
Hadn't heard that name in a while.
Yeah, man.
Folks, that's just what Monday Night Madness is all about. We want to bring back, because sometimes the old is forever new. But we want to bring
forever.
Back.
God.
Oh, absolutely. This music
I'm
sounds
not joking
great.
About that.
It
Jeez.
Sounds great right now. And so now this group, you guys remember those basement parties? So, Professor, we have to go back probably to the mid-60s. Am I close?
68.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
The Dale Fonis, you guys remember that?
Yes, 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 yes.
The parents were upstairs. You know. La, la, la. Means I love you. The Dale Fonis. This is Monday Night Madness. I'm WB, and to my left,
Professor Pop Coach.
Yeah. Hey, Jazz. I know you're listening.
Many guys have come to you with a line that wasn't true, and you passed them by.
Passed them by.
Though you're in the center ring, and their lines don't mean a thing, why don't you let me try?
that I needed in this world. You are the one for me.
One for me.
Let me hold you in my arms, girl, and thrill you with my charms. I'm sure you will see.
You will see.
The things I will say are true.
Dale Farnes.
La
la la.
Come on and take my hand.
And to you Prince fans around the globe. Song, same title.
Same title. Jazz.
Hey girl.
Monday Night Madness.
But you didn't know I had both eyes on you. It's true. I've seen all those other guys too. Really, frankly, I don't give a damn.
Many guys have come to you with a line that wasn't true.
lot of fun.
Yeah, very.
Make up your mind.
And I bet you know all the words.
She said deliciousness. Lord. You know, this is a very important recording from the au revoir because, ooh, gotta check the credits who did that trumpet. Very, very nice. Very beautiful.
Excellent.
This was the very, very, very few covers that Mr. Nelson did throughout his career. And that came out of the Emancipation triple album set from 1995. He did that one and another Tom Bell classic. And yes, we're going to, Jazz, don't worry, we're going to have that one ready for you two later on this evening. But yeah, La La means I love you. And that was done, you know, with the Delphonics. That was done when Bell was over at Philly Groove Records. Okay, we have to understand, there were three great big record companies in Philly during that golden age of the 50s, 60s, and 70s. We played Cameo Parkway, his work with Cameo Parkway, with Pass Me By, Hetty Winston. This is from Philly Groove, La La Means I Love You. Then comes Philadelphia International with Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff. And
Gamble and Huff.
Exactly. Okay. Wow. All right. So and this is what I was talking about. He was talking to, he talked about once about his budget. When he was at Philly Groove, he was able to have allowed in the budget six violins, four violas, and a cello.
That's where the sound came from.
Okay. I'm sorry. Now that's Cameo Parkway. Forgive me. Please forgive me.
Violins?
Okay. Cameo Parkway. You got that, guys? Listen, Cameo Parkway Records. Six violins, four violas, one cello. When he gets to Philly Groove, he is able to have nine violins, six violas, and a cello. When he's at Philly International, for the first couple years, it's the same that he had at Philly Groove. When Philadelphia explodes, then he was able to have 18, 19, 20 violins, nine violas, two cellos. And that is where disco happens.
Amazing, amazing, amazing stuff.
Along with the four on the floor bass line. I mean, bass drum, excuse me. The four on the floor bass drum line, yes.
Hey, only here on Monday Night Madness. Now, this was one of my favorites right here. The Delphonics. Didn't I blow your mind? Didn't I? Oh. Yeah.
And those big introductions he had, we're going to talk about where that comes from.
I gave my heart and soul. I do.
was true, girl. Now didn't I think it, baby? Didn't I think it, baby? But this time I'm really leaving you, girl. Oh.
Hope you know it, baby. Hope you know it, baby. 10 times or more, yes, I walked out the door. Get this thing through your head, there'll be no more. Did not blow your mind this time. Did not. Oh, oh, oh. Did not blow your mind this time. Did not.
Listen to Monday Night Madness.
Wake up.
On Studio W.
Open the door.
Open the door.
Don't cry no more. You're in love. You know we need each other. And you, girl, yes, you should be loving me. Let's go on together. We'll be happy, so happy. Hello,
hello.
It's a new day.
It's a new day.
No time to play.
from the Love Songs album. I'm sorry, D. Delphine. Sorry, D. Delphonics.
You know, someone on the planet somewhere is like, what are they doing, playing the whole Hey Love album tonight?
Yeah. Well, not quite. Nope. Not quite. But what we'd like to do, if I am playing an artist, now sometimes on some of these shows, we'll mix these things up, right? But this is a different kind of show, so I like to do medleys.
Yeah.
In between. So it seems we have an artist. And so sometimes, Professor, we will take an individual artist or an individual group and we'll showcase them the entire night anyway.
Right.
So
we'll
do that. Now, when we do a show where we have various groups, I like to group them together.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And give them a medley and then we can have a conversation about the group. Yeah.
Sure. And, you know, the Delphonics, I mean, again, you know, Tom Bell, the archetype, the architect of that, he was, you know, they were one of the earlier ones, the earlier groups that he worked with. And what he says is, he and his songwriting partner, Linda Creed, they would sit down and they would write a song and they would just laboriously go over it. He was known as a perfectionist. Mm. And he would just laboriously just go over it, over it, over it, until he knows for sure that he has it. Then he would not record it. Not even as a songwriter. You know, they would just put it, just a piano and voice or a guitar and voice, give it to the artist to listen to, right? Mm. Or, you know, a demo. He would not even do that. Now, I learned that this was the Philly way of doing it, but the earliest example of I know of a songwriter who did it this way was Tom Bell. Tom Bell would finish the song, then he will invite the artist in, and he will explain the song to the artist before he would give them the lyrics. Then he'll play it on the piano and sing it. Then he would coach them on the melody. Then he would give them the opportunity to sing it while he's playing it on the piano. Then he'd be like, okay, that's enough. Go home.
and when it's ready in the studio, we'll call you. So then they'll put, they'll get the rhythm section, they'll record all of the rhythm tracks, the basic tracks, the rhythm tracks. Okay. And he was such a perfectionist in the studio. He insisted the musicians play what was written. You cannot improvise on a Tom Bell composition. Okay.
Love it.
Then
love it.
He'll put the strings, what he called the sweetening. He'll put the sweetening into it, the strings in the horns.
That's
into
genius.
It. Then it's not over. Well, I guess that's why these songs have lasted the test of time for 50, 60 years. Then he invites the artist to come back to the studio.
Wow.
Again, explain the production. Then goes to the piano, goes and coaches them on the melody. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want them to hear it until they're in the booth with the earphones on. And when he said that he can see the look on their face when there's this great big smile that he hears with all of the music and all of the tracks in the arrangement before they start their cue, he won't know then if he did his job. Hey. So Russell Tompkins was shocked a couple of seconds before he started his vocals. Let us just remember that.
We will. Russell Thompson is with who, though?
The Stylistics.
I knew that. Mm-hmm. I knew it. You don't ask a question you don't know the answer to. Mm. All right. Be right back after this. And I'm going to throw this one in. And then we have, this is Dusty Springfield. Then we have Donna Ross, Marvin Gaye. And then the aforementioned Stylistics.
Yes.
Lamar is just like that. Kick back, grab a glass, grab your popcorn, grab your lady, grab whatever you want to grab.
Popcorn.
Let's do this.
And let us bow to Dusty Springfield.
Yes. Brand new me. Okay.
White soul, blue-eyed soul.
Dinah Ross, Marvin Gaye coming up. Stop, look, listen.
I was the same old me with the same old blue. Touch my life just by holding my hand. Now I look in the mirror and see brand new girl. I got a brand new walk, a brand new smile. Since I met you, baby, the same old sins. I tell the same old jokes, get the same old grin. But now the jokes sound new, and the laughter does too. Every day of my life is fresh as morning dew. Just because of you, boy. Just look at the same old sky, see them all with brand new
pretend. Oh, baby, why fool yourself? Don't be afraid to help yourself. It's never too late to stop. Look, yes, listen to your heart. Hear what it says. Stop. Look now. Listen to your heart. Hear what it says.
Time decide that you will open up, let it in. There's no shame in sharing love you feel within. So jump right in, head over heels and fall right in. It's never too late to stop.
Look, listen to your heart.
It brings back memories, doesn't it?
You know, do you really want to know the first person who recorded that? And it was not the Stylistics.
Don't know.
Connie Stevens. That's right. Miss 99% White America recorded that song first. And, yeah, recorded it in 1970 under its original title, Keep Growing Strong. Okay. Okay. Here's the thing about this song. You know it.
Came back to me.
So you know that recording?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. There you go. You see, betcha. Okay. Golly. Wow. Those are words that evoke human emotion, right? Mm-hmm. He came up with the title. Most people assume it was Linda Creed because she did the lyrics. Well, sure, but it was, he came up with the title of that one himself, and then she wrote lyrics to it. But people thought it was corny. People told him not to title the song that, and he said that he learned from that experience never to, not only never listen to anyone else around him, but don't reveal too many of your thoughts to people. And then that was 1972. Then,
couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more.
Right. What movie came out in 1972? What big blockbuster movie?
I don't know.
The Godfather.
Okay.
Okay. And Vito Corleone, he said that line. Okay. Don't ever reveal your thoughts.
Okay.
To anybody. And then that was sort of validation, to him. With that, because look at what happened with Betcha by Golly Wow, man.
Amazing, you know? Stuff.
And Prince too, again, one of the very few covers.
Okay. Wow, wow, wow. You know what? And speaking of Prince, here we go.
All the things he feels inside. every just so often the words of another who's truly in love seem to work out fine.
To say I love you,
I love
to say
you.
I'm thinking you.
It's too good. That is too good. Okay, Jazz. Oh, I know you heard that.
Yeah, she told me something that, well, forget it. Just forget it.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. All decorum right. forbids me from mentioning it over the air. Okay.
So you'll mention it off air when you and I are talking.
Maybe.
Oh, it's that deep, huh? Okay. All right. Monday Night Madness, folks.
So what's the next song, boy?
Oh, see? Oh, my goodness. Okay. Okay. See, you're going to make my imagination just run completely wild.
You run coming your up, imagination.
Yeah, I have one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can believe that one. This group right now, they achieved their greatest chart success in the 70s.
Oh.
And they were formed in 1968.
Mm-hmm.
Harold Murrell, okay, Arian Love, James Smith, and James Dunn, okay, all their U.S. hits and ballads were characterized by the falsetto of Mr. Russell Thompson Jr.
Okay.
Wow. Hey, look, I'm a fan. I'm a great fan. And this group is one of my favorites, you know, out of that Philly, collection, you know, Philly sound. That sound is so unique.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
The uniqueness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was the orchestral, composition, included in the composition itself.
Well, you know where that comes from. He knew the orchestra and he knew all the instruments because Bell was a classically trained pianist.
There you go.
But get a load of this. He was trained from the ages of 6 to 19. Every day had to play and practice 3 hours a day.
So he knew the bottom side of the keyboard.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Dimensions. Sound.
That's it.
If it was out of tune, he knew it.
Mm-hmm. And he got tired of articulating other people's music, but he learned, and this was, you know, when he was in his teens with the great masters, because they would have, they don't call them recitals anymore. They call them concerts, solo concerts and such. But, you would do those shows as, you know, when you're growing up and all, and you do the classic composers, but you really not supposed to mess with that. So if he found himself confined, which is where his perfectionism came from, making the musicians in the studio play what was written, that comes from him. He had to play Mozart's concerto exactly the way it's written. You can't do that. And Jazz knows this as actors. We cannot add words or variate Shakespeare. You have to do Shakespeare exactly as it's written. These other contemporary playwrights, maybe you can. So with that, he decides to write. And he writes his own material. Then he meets Kenneth Gamble, who was dating his sister at the time. See, now we're seeing how close Philly is. Philadelphia. And then while they were tight, they would sing doo-wop on the corner with a white boy.
Okay.
By the name of Daryl Hall.
No way. And this was this before Hall and Oates came together?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
You see, it was a funny thing in college. We used to say, you know, Daryl Hall, brother. Okay. He ain't white. Something's wrong in there, but he a brother, because you're listening to what? When you listen to She's Gone, Rich Girl, Kiss on My List, all of those, songs, you know, they just have that fabric to them, you know. Well, it's that Philly sound. And so if he had that, well, look who taught him.
Did he ever produce him?
No.
Amazing.
At least not to my knowledge. I'll fact check that to be sure.
Okay, please do, because this one right here, segue break up to make up the stylistics. A little Bentley for you. Coming up.